You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Church Toronto West. For more information, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.
Well, I didn't know what to expect today with all the snow, and thank you for braving the snow. God is worthy of worship even when there's a snowstorm. Amen. Yeah, and so we continue to worship Him. We're going to jump right into God's Word right now. And continuing in our series, Hope Church, we're walking through the epistle of 1 Peter, verse by verse. What I love about preaching verse by verse is this. You can't really pick and choose what you want to say and what you don't want to say. It's really what comes up next in the passage is where you will be. And I love to be able to preach that way because preaching and this church, it's not about really what I think is important for you to hear. It's not about what I think is best for our church to hear. What's amazing is that we want to know what God has to say. And we trust in His providence that He has a word for us right where we find ourselves. So before we jump in, I just want you to imagine with me for a moment, okay? I want to give you a scenario. I want you to think deeply about this. Imagine with me for a moment that the Canadian government passed a law, listen, banning Christianity, okay? Imagine with me for a moment that the Canadian government passed a law that banned Christianity. It banned all Christian worship. It banned any kind of Christian evangelism. You've watched the news. You're catching wind of it through social media. Everyone's discussing it. To be a follower of Jesus Christ in Canada is no longer allowed. Imagine that. Now, if you're a Christian in the room today, you're probably thinking to yourself, man, I'm glad we're imagining because that would be very difficult. I'm glad that's not really the case. I'm glad we're just imagining because I don't really know what I would do if the authorities, if the government imposed such a law upon me as a follower of Jesus Christ. Some of you are saying, I'm glad we're imagining that's not happening to us for real. Now I want you to consider for a moment that what we are imagining here in Toronto right now is, listen, it's actually a reality for thousands upon thousands of Christian followers of Jesus Christ all over the world today. Just listen to some of the headlines from one Christian publication, the Christian Post. I was just on their website, and these were the headlines that just came right in front of me. Vietnamese Christians beaten, arrested for refusing to worship Buddha and failing to renounce faith in Jesus Christ. Christian brutally beaten, banished from village, vows to return to share the gospel with oppressors. Christians attacked 25 times over Christmas in India. Pastor dragged, bloodied by a mob. Pastor sentenced to 12 years in prison for wanting religious freedom. How about this one? Pastor jailed, tortured for preaching, shares horrors Christian prisoners are facing. Christian woman living like a prisoner in Pakistan, hiding from angry mobs who want to kill her. Worst 50 places for Christians ranked 2019 World Watch List, India in top 10 for the first time. These are just a few of the headlines that came right up on this Christian publication. Loved ones, make no mistake about it, the Christian church all over the world is experiencing dark days. How are they supposed to live as followers of Jesus Christ in the face of such oppressive governments? How are they supposed to respond to the authority structures that are in place in the countries where they find themselves persecuted? Well, it's a really important question and really important for us to understand that this is the exact context that Peter is writing to in the book of 1 Peter. Nero was in power in first century Asia Minor in the Roman Empire. He was brutally wicked towards Christians. And a very real question facing the Christians in the first century was, how should we relate to such an oppressive and wicked government? What are we to do in response to such authority that is diametrically opposed to everything that we believe in? Well, Peter, in this context, is not just content to tell us that we are to live in this world as exiles, that this world is not our home. Peter is not just content to say, don't worry, your future home in glory is coming, just hang in there. He gives some instructions to the scattered, persecuted believers. He gives some clear and maybe even shocking answers to some of these pressing concerns of these early believers. How are we to relate to the authorities that are oppressing us? He gives some important instructions because what's at stake is the witness of Christians in the midst of a dying world that we are called to reach. Because while we are not of this world, Jesus has been very clear that he is leaving us in this world for a very distinct purpose. So while we are not facing such persecution in our day today, there are instructions from God's word to us today to teach us how we are to relate to authority. How are we to relate to government? In the context Peter is writing to, how are we to relate specifically to oppressive and wicked government structures? These are the answers that Peter brings to us. So I want you to turn with me right away in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we've been going verse by verse. We're going to pick up in verse 13 and go down to verse 17. If you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side would love to put a copy of God's Word into your hand. And if you don't own a Bible, please take that Bible home. It'll be our gift to you today. We'd love you to read it and have your life changed by it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. While you're turning there, it's important to remember where we left off. That Peter has just finished communicating the command, the exhortation, that we are to keep our conduct honorable in the world and that it will have an evangelistic impact. And so now in the next passages over the next few weeks, including what we're tackling today, Peter is going to show us what it means to have pure and honorable conduct in the midst of a world, in the midst of an oppressive world against Christians. And so 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 to 17, so important for us today. Especially if we haven't even grappled with these questions in our minds, in our hearts. Starting from verse 13, this is what Peter says to the persecuted believers. He says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." Verse 15, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God." Verse 17, Peter says, "Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor." Just understanding the context, these would have been shocking words and a shocking command and a shocking way of communicating how these persecuted believers are to relate to the authorities. So this is where we're going to start. I want you to write this down. Our conduct as believers in this world is honorable and evangelistic in this world when we, write this down, when we submit to the authorities established by God. Our conduct is honorable. Our conduct is lovely. We have a witness to share when we submit to the authorities established by God. Notice verse 13. Peter says to them, in the midst of the oppressive government and authorities that they were facing, and Nero was a very wicked ruler, this is what he says to them. Shocking. He says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution." Other translations say, "Submit yourselves." The phrase "be subject" or "submit yourselves," it's a military expression. It literally means to arrange in formation under the commander. That is what submission is. And particularly, that is what Christian submission is. It is the willful, humble yielding of one's rights to an authority. Now, if you're living in the text, as I've been all week, and you're remembering the context, you'll begin to recognize that this could not have been an easy command for these believers. Again, their lives are in danger for being Christians. Their livelihoods are in danger. They're being disowned by their families. It's a big deal. A lot is at stake here to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And while many of them would have wanted to just turn a deaf ear to the authorities and rebel or start a revolution or hide away and do their own thing, Peter says, the way you let your conduct be honorable in this world and evangelistic for others to see is not by starting a revolution or ignoring the rules of the government. He exhorts them to submit to the authorities that are established by God. Now, before we go on any further, what you and I must be convinced of today is this, that, listen, our ways are not like God's ways. Okay? God's ways are better. Okay? Our instincts most often are out of sync with God's instincts, but listen, God's instincts, His ways are better. The preferences we have are regularly out of step with God's preferences, but what you need to understand and be convinced of today is that God's preferences are always better. So while we hear, as the first century audience would have heard Peter say, be subject, submit to the authorities. No doubt they were having a hard time with this command, and maybe some of us in this room are having a hard time with this command, and surely some of us are thinking, but that's not really fair. It doesn't seem to be just that we should submit to oppressive authority structures. I want to show you from our text why God's ways are better, specifically as it pertains to this issue of submission to authority in a world far from home. Again, this world is not our home. Our home is heaven. And that's the hope that we have while we live in this world. So I want to show you four truths about the power of submission right from our text. I want you to write this down. Submission to authority is, firstly, I want you to see this. Submission to authority is ultimately worship to God. Submission to authority is ultimately worship to God. Notice it in the text, verse 13. Peter says, be subject, here it is now, for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And so in case you're wondering, why in the world would anyone submit themselves to an evil government like the Roman Empire with Nero as the emperor? Why would anyone do that? In case you're sitting here thinking, why would anyone submit to that kind of authority? Here's the answer. It's for the Lord's sake, Peter says. In other words, when believers willingly and humbly submit to human civil institutions of government, what we are really and ultimately doing is submitting to God's sovereign authority. That's the fact. Because regardless of how righteous or unrighteous the leadership is, our submission to authority demonstrates one overarching thing, that we don't trust ultimately in the government. We don't trust ultimately in mayors of cities. We don't trust ultimately in premiers of provinces. We don't trust ultimately in prime ministers and presidents of countries. We trust ultimately in the name of the Lord and His sovereign authority over the affairs of the entire universe. And so to submit to the authorities, Peter says, the motive, the reason you should submit to authority is for the Lord's sake, because ultimately it is God who is sovereign over every other authority that exists in this world. So that's important for us to grasp. Submission to authority is ultimately worship to God. There's a second thing I want you to see. Secondly, write this down. Submission to authority is not only ultimately worship to God, it is this now. Listen, it is always the will of God. Okay? Stay with me. It's always the will of God. Notice verses 13 to 15. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Then he qualifies that, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, and he was an evil emperor in that time, or to governors as sent by him, God, sent by God, the authority sent by God, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Here it is now, so clear, for this is the will of God. So Peter says, submit to every human institution. He goes on to make a list. Again, notice it. Whether to the emperor supreme, to governors, notice now, as sent by him, sent by God, for this is the will of God. Now, the Apostle Paul said something similar and even more specific about a decade earlier in Romans chapter 13, 1 and 2. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. That's what Paul says. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. So this is important for us to understand. In a world of protests, in a world of revolutions, in a world of social media, where people can gather thousands of followers for themselves, where people can revolt against the institutions that were set up very quickly, this is important for us to understand. Whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. That's what Paul says. And those who resist will incur judgment. So, God has instituted governments for the good of society. Of course, no government is perfect. In fact, some are terrible and even wicked. But nonetheless, the scriptures are clear. We are never to take matters into our own hands. It is always the will of God to submit to the governing authorities. Now, some of you are thinking for sure, Jason, there must be some situation where it's okay not to submit to the governing authorities. Maybe some of you have something in your mind you're wrestling with. You think, Jason, there must be some situation, there must be some circumstance. Listen, I know of one type of situation in Scripture. One type of situation. One situation that would be the exception. And that's when the governing authorities are asking you to sin or to explicitly do something contrary to what God has revealed in the Scriptures. You say, Jason, where do you get that from? You're just making that up? Well, we see that in many places, but specifically, we see it in Acts chapter 5. And the apostles were arrested and put in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus. They were firmly and strictly charged to stop teaching in the name of Jesus. Peter's response in Acts 5:29, listen, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. So Peter and Paul say submit to the governing authorities, but the Bible is also clear that there's probably one scenario where you are not required to submit to the governing authorities. It's when a governing authority comes to you and tells you to do something that is in direct contradiction to what God has said. Not some mystical idea of what you think God has said. Not something that you're making up in your mind. But how do we know? How do we know what God has said? How do we know? Anything that's contrary to what God has said in the Bible, in that case, we see from the example of Peter and the apostles, should we obey God or should we obey men? Peter says, we got to obey God. And so we have to hold that intention. Generally and overall, Christians don't protest. Christians don't start revolutions. Christians don't fight with police officers. Christians don't disobey governing authorities in rebellion. It is the will of God that we obey, unless we are being asked to directly disobey God. And so submission to authority is ultimately worship to God.
Submission to authority is always the will of God. Thirdly, write this down. Submission to authority is, it's actually protection from God. It's actually protection from God. Notice verse 15, starting from verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him. Listen now. To punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So there's a reason you should call 911 when you are in the midst of an emergency. There's a reason that you should file your income tax return in accordance with governmental guidelines. There's a reason why every time you get in your car, you should abide by the speed limit. Here's the reason. Do you know? It's for your protection. It's for your protection. God has set up governments for our own protection. Peter's commanding submission to human institutions like the government, because after all, they're put in place by God, listen, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Do you see it in verse 14? Without these God-ordained institutions, there would be total anarchy. What Peter's saying is submit to the authorities, because the authorities are in place to punish those who are doing evil. And thank God that we have a governmental system in our society that if someone tries to break into your house and you call 911, you're not left to fight for yourself, that police officers will come and they will be trained and they will be equipped and they will apprehend that person that is trying to hurt you. We submit to the authorities because it's actually protection from God. And just remember this, that without these God-ordained institutions, without governments, as much as we disagree with governmental leaders, as much as we may disagree with some of the decisions being made, as much as we may outwardly say, well, that's just not right what that leader is doing, we submit because government and these human institutions are put in place ultimately always, actually, for our protection. Because without these governmental systems, society would be anarchy. I can think of times where I was in an airport in a foreign country. Done a lot of trips, missions trips, things like that, ministry trips. I can remember a couple times being in a particular airport and thinking to myself, am I gonna get my bag? Okay? Because there's no rules here. I'm looking for someone with a name. There's no name tags. I'm looking for someone with like a badge that they work here. Who works here? This is chaotic. Finally, I get my bag. And then I think to myself, when I step out of this airport, am I going to survive? And sure enough, you step out of the airport and it is anarchy. It is chaos. Who am I going to call to take me where I need to go? And who am I going to speak to? Does anyone speak English here? And it's just, not every place has the governmental systems that we have here. So as much as we are tempted to complain, understand, loved ones, that these institutions are put in place by God in some countries better than others. But where we are, they're put in place by God for our protection. In case you're one of those people sitting in front of the computer or your smartphone complaining about our prime minister, complaining about our leaders, just stop for a second and think to yourself, what an awesome thing God has done to institute government. Now again, doesn't mean you agree with everything the government is doing. Remember the context. The emperor was Nero. And he was killing Christians. Nonetheless, Peter says, be subject. When you submit yourself, you show the beauty of Christianity. When you submit yourself, you show the beauty
of willful, humble submission because you're able to submit. Why? Because ultimately there's a higher authority that you trust and that you call upon. I wonder how many times we've been tempted to say, I don't have to listen to you. I don't agree with your policies and your methods or your morals or your worldview. What Peter is saying here is that this kind of attitude would prove to hinder our witness and actually evidence a heart that is actually insubordinate to an even greater authority, the authority of God Himself. So let me just give you a word of commendation or a word of wisdom. When you're on social media and you see people rebelling against police officers, just be careful before you click like, whatever the reason is. Whenever you see people starting revolutions and starting their own thing and going against an authority, the authority of a university institution or the authority of the government or the authority of law enforcement, whenever you see it, hey, just be careful before you click like. Because you're clicking like might damage your witness, because we are not revolutionaries. We trust Jesus. We trust the Lord. And whatever is going on, we're not impulsive, clicking like and making comments. We step back and we pray when things are going awry. And when our leaders are going sideways, what do the scriptures call us to do? Do you know? Pray. Pray for your leaders. Paul exhorts us to do that. Not to rebel. Okay. Submission to authority is ultimately worship to God. It's always the will of God. It's actually protection from God. Lastly, this. Submission to authority is, write this down, it's beautifully empowered by God. Okay? It's beautifully empowered by God. How can we do this? How were they able to do this in the midst of a difficult, difficult situation? Well, notice verse 16. Peter says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Peter's concern here is that Christians don't use their spiritual freedom from the bondage and penalty of sin as a cover-up to do more evil, the kind of evil that resists authority. Now, freedom from sin and the grace of Jesus Christ can never be abused in a way that grants permission for any sin, even getting out from under an oppressive government like the Roman Empire. Live as people who are free. Show people that your freedom because of the grace of Jesus Christ is never a license to sin. It's never a license to take matters in your own hands. He goes on now in verse 17. He says, honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. I'm going to give you three final things. Three final exhortations for us from this that I pray will be very helpful. Remember, last week we talked about indicatives versus imperatives. Remember now, all of this, all of these commands to submit to authority, it's not that I just need to try harder to do better. It's actually that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth to die for me. Jesus Christ, through His own submission to the Father, goes to the cross and dies a brutal death in submission to His Father's will. He pays the penalty for my sin and yours to give us freedom, because He has granted us freedom. Now we turn around and we operate and we honor and we obey these imperatives, okay? Because Jesus Christ has set us free through His own submission to the Father, we are called to do three things. Write this down. Number one, we're called to honor everyone. Honor everyone. The idea here is that all people are made in the image of God. And in that time, the believers were probably getting tempted to be angry, to feel rebellious against the governmental systems that were around them, maybe even disrespect or discriminate against others. Listen, Peter says, Christians don't discriminate against anyone.
It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic background is or your ethnicity or your history. It doesn't matter. Christians are to do what? To honor everyone. Paul tells us in Romans 12 that we are to outdo one another in showing honor. And Peter here says, things are hard for you. To these Christians, he says, things are hard for you. Your lives are on the line. It's dangerous to be a Christian. You're getting tempted to fight with each other. He says, honor one another. Honor everyone. So that's what we're called to do. To honor everyone. Think about this. When people stand up against you, when people seek to oppress you, no matter who they are, you are called to honor them. That is fundamentally Christian. That is foundationally countercultural. And that is what is empowered by God Himself, that we should live that way when people discriminate against you. You see, that's what was the context. They were being discriminated against by the emperor because they were Christians. And Peter turns around and says, but you don't do that to anyone else. They're discriminating against you, but you make sure you don't do that. Honor everyone. Second thing, love one another. Love one another. Now, this is a reminder. Earlier, he spoke of this. This is a reminder and a call to every Christian to love each other, speaking specifically about the family of God here in the church. And love one another. Again, we saw this a few weeks ago. It would have been tempting for them to get frustrated with each other, to push each other away, to isolate themselves. And Peter is trying to stir up their affections and their hope in Jesus Christ and gather them together. And this is really important for us to understand because we live in a very individualistic society that tells us in the church, you can do your own thing and be your own person and isolate yourself and don't let people in. And Peter here says, don't live that way. Come together. Love one another. Cherish your fellowship together. Come together on the foundation and on the basis of your common ground in Jesus Christ. And as you remember what Christ has done for you in loving you and laying down his life for you, you extend that love to one another. Church, love one another. There's probably no more beautiful thing than that, than when people come to church and see the evidence of true biblical love. In fact, isn't that what Jesus said is the greatest mark of true Christianity? Jesus didn't say the greatest mark of your Christianity would be doctrinal fidelity. That's important. Very important. In fact, you can't love properly unless you have a good theology of love. Important. But Jesus didn't say that people will know that you're Christians because you go to this place every single week and you attend a service. Jesus didn't say that. But Jesus said to his disciples, everyone's going to know that you belong to me. Everyone's going to know what you're about. Everyone's going to understand the things that you prioritize. Everyone's going to know in a very specific, distinct way that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, by your love. Love one another. Thirdly, and finally, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. He says that we're to honor everyone, that we are to love one another. And then he says, fear God. This is the final reminder. You go back up to verse 13, be subject to every human institution. But we don't fear human institutions. We don't revere human institutions. We don't worship at the feet of human institutions. Did you know that in this context, one of the reasons the Christians were being so heavily persecuted is because they were supposed to bow down and call Caesar Lord. And they wouldn't do it. Because they're not called to fear Caesar or to revere or worship Caesar
or Justin Trudeau or Donald Trump or the mayor or whatever. We honor everyone, but we fear God. That means that we worship God. That means that we obey the government because we fear God, because it's for the Lord's sake. That means we obey the government. We endure hostility. We endure persecution. We endure everything that'll come our way because we fear God. We worship God. We trust God. We don't bow down to political leaders. By the way, some people do that and they don't realize they're doing that. They put all their hope in the direction of a political leader. Do you know when you put all your hope in politics, when you put all your hope in governments, when you put all your hope in these human institutions, what you're really doing is worshiping? But we fear God and we put our hope in God. And no matter how bad things get, God is still on the throne. We fear him. Last thing he says, circles back to verse 17 and even up to verse 13. He says, honor the emperor. That would have been powerful. Okay, Peter, honor everyone. I love the brotherhood. Fear God. We understand that. But now you're being specific here. The one that has set his sights on killing you, Peter has identified him explicitly, the emperor, Nero. And he says, honor him too. Sounds familiar. Peter hung out with Jesus a lot. It got in his heart. He's remembering the Sermon on the Mount. He's remembering where he sat there and watched Jesus teach the crowds with great authority. He's remembering that moment when Jesus said, I say to you, love your enemies. And he remembers that and he writes this down. Some of you hate the emperor because of what he's doing to you. No, no, no. He says, honor even him. And in honoring him and in subjecting yourself to the authorities and in obeying the authorities, ultimately we recognize we are worshiping God. Because at the end of the day, when this is all said and done, people around us will see, they will observe. Lives are at stake. Through our attitude, through our submission, through our obedience, people will see and come to ask us the question, how can you do that? And it'll give us the platform to tell people how awesome Jesus Christ is and how he can save them. And more people will come with us onto this Calvary road, this narrow road leading to life. In a minute, we're going to get there. In a minute, we're going to be standing before the Lord. And I just want to close with this question for every single person in this room. We're exhorted how we are to honor the authorities, but I'm just aware we can't do any of this apart from first full submission to the ultimate authority of Jesus Christ in our lives. Have you surrendered your life to the authority of Jesus Christ? A Savior, a God who will never oppress you, a God who will never crush you, a God who for your sake and mine was crushed so that you can be saved. I don't know every single person in this room today, but the question I have for you is this. Are you here today living for yourself? Are you in this room today doing your own thing? Have you bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ? Turned from your sins, putting your faith in him? This is what matters most.
Not what you're doing at lunchtime today, not the job interview you have this week. This is what matters most. If there's anyone in this room today and you're hearing the sound of my voice and you understand that there's a Savior who came from heaven to earth to die on the cross for you because he loves you, he says, don't bow down to the God of self anymore. It's taking you towards destruction. Instead, repent of your sins. That means turn away from your sins and put your trust in the one true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a day coming when every single person who ever lived will stand before the ultimate and sovereign ruler of the universe. And every single human institution and every single human authority will be nothing. And every king that ever existed and every ruler and every president and every prime minister and every mayor and every leader and every CEO will bow down to that name, the name of Jesus Christ. The question is, will you bow willingly with joy because you are saved and found in him? Or will you be brought to your knees in fear and trembling because you insisted to do things your own way? The reason we can be subject to the authorities of this earth is because, listen, this is my hope. There's one thing I know. There's really only one true and sovereign Lord over everything. And he's controlling it all. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He moves it wherever he will. Some of you are going through hard things right now. Your boss at work is hurting you. Maybe another authority in your life is oppressing you. Jesus says, come and submit yourself to me. Come and bow down to me. And I will lift up your head. And I will fulfill a beautiful plan and purpose for your life. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Bow your heads with me right now, loved ones. I want you to consider the reality of the things we're talking about here. I'm so glad you're here. The snowstorm did not keep you away. And I just believe that God has each person here for a very specific reason. Some of us are followers of Jesus Christ, and we've been followers of Jesus Christ for a long time, and we haven't had any clear teaching on this. And today's the day for every follower of Jesus Christ to say, Lord, forgive me when I've rebelled, when I've tried to be a revolutionary, when I've tried to take matters in my own hand. Lord, today I confess that I trust you. And here's the truth. There are some in this room, maybe, just maybe, even one, you've never, ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You're living for self. There's no amount of good works that you can do to get you to heaven. You need to be saved. You need the perfect sacrifice of the perfect Lamb, Jesus Christ, to save you. And today is a day for some, maybe even one in this place, to say, Lord, I repent of living for myself. I'm so sorry that I've been trying to be the God of my life, always coming up short every time. I repent. I turn away. I trust you to save me. Do that right now. Pray that in your heart right now. I trust you to save me. Just say those words in your heart and God will save you. So, Lord Jesus, I pray for every person in this room, wherever they are. Oh God, would you minister? Would you speak? Would you stir the hearts of people? Would we bow down and worship you, every single one? Some maybe for the first time today in this room, I pray, Lord, do it. Do it, Lord. Open eyes, we pray, for the glory of your great name. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. All of God's people said amen.